This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
How many magazines do you have for your concealed carry pistol or your competition pistol if it's a semi-automatic? How many speed loaders do you have if you are shooting and carrying a revolver? Hi, I'm Bob Main. I'm your host. This is the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop, and this podcast is part of the Self-Defense Radio Network. My website's handgunworld.com, and the Self Defense Radio Network is selfdefenseradio.net. Selfdefenseradio.net. More about that coming up a little later. This week on the show, I'm going to mainly talk about magazines. And I had a voicemail caller that called in some pretty good stuff about magazines. It's so incredibly important. I can't stress the importance of good quality magazines enough. And some of the magazines that I have been using lately, some are good and some are not so good. Most of you know, if you've been listening to me long enough, I really like Glocks. I also, I've got a SIG, a real nice SIG pistol. I've got a nice Walther pistol. And I've also got a nice Smith & Wesson Shield pistol. With the exception of Glock 19, I use magazines made by the manufacturer of the pistol, or at least the ones, the same type of magazines that come with the gun. I have been testing out the Magpul Glock 19 mags lately, and I got to say, I'm pretty impressed with them. The Magpul Glock 19 magazines. I'm impressed with them for several reasons. They're light, they're less expensive, they seem to be extremely well built. And my testing now, over a couple of hundred rounds so far, they have been working very well. So I might also be getting some of the Magpul Glock 19 magazines. So again, a couple of voicemails coming up. I do want to mention that I'm getting very close to September 17th, or it is getting very close to September 17th, where I'll be teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced. Ben Branham and I have come up with a new advanced curriculum called The Art of the First Hit and also Worst Case Scenarios. So I'll be teaching Worst Case Scenarios September 17th in San Antonio. If you can make it, there's still, you could be a last minuter and sign up. There's still space left. And on January 21st, Ben Branham and I are teaching The Art of the First Hit. We actually called it Pistol Fighting Dynamics. Pistol Fighting Dynamics, The Art of the First Hit. There's early bird specials available for the January 21st class in San Antonio. Go to handgunworld.com and you can see those. So getting back to magazines. People sometimes complain about the cost of magazines, and what I've found is that if you buy magazines for your semi-automatic gun that are either made for or that have the manufacturer's name on them, which is the same as your gun. In other words, buying Glock magazines for Glocks, M&P magazines for M&Ps, XD magazines for XDs, SIG magazines for SIGs, Ruger magazines for Ruger. I know that there are other aftermarket manufacturers. Like, there are other people that make Glock magazines. There are other people that make M&P magazines. About the only aftermarket magazine made by another manufacturer that I like are, like I mentioned just a little while ago, the Magpul magazines for Glock 19s. Now, 1911s, that's a whole different beast. When you're buying magazines, there's all kinds of great 1911 magazines, and oftentimes the magazine that you get with your 1911, when you buy it, oftentimes those aren't very good. Have you noticed that? How many of you have had problems with the magazines that came with your 1911. I don't know what it is. You know, you pay a lot of money for 1911s, and then sometimes you get magazines that aren't so great. Now, I'm not saying that that happens all the time, but when I had 1911s, and I had 1911s for a long time and shot them for a long time, the Wilson Combat and the Chip McCormick magazines just really seemed to work extremely well. Wilson Combat and Chip McCormick. I had very, very few magazine issues when I was using those two brands for my 1911. So consider that, and I've got more information about that in one of the voicemails that is called in that you're going to hear a little bit later in this episode. Continuing on the subject of magazines, make sure you got plenty of them. And I'm going to talk about how many that I have and how many I think that is wise for you to have coming up a little, just a few minutes later after I play one of the voicemails and talk about it. It's the heart and soul of your gun, or at least it's part of the heart and soul of your gun, and your concealed carry system. You've heard me talk about your concealed carry system. It is a complete system. Everything needs to be good quality and in good working order for you to be able to successfully defend your life. And after all, isn't that why we carry a gun every day? And that system goes far beyond your gun. Your gun's only part of the system. Another part of the system is the magazines that you use in the gun. Another part is the ammunition that you use in the gun. Another part, often forgotten about, is a good quality belt. A good quality belt. Concealment Solutions is a sponsor of the Handgun World podcast. They have great belts. Check out the belts at Concealment Solutions. You don't get the 10% off using my coupon code. You do on all the holsters, by the way, and the mag carriers. Handgun World is the coupon code at Concealment Solutions. You'll get 10% off. 10% off at Concealment Solutions if you use the coupon code Handgun World. Not on the belts, but he makes great belts. Python gun belts are great. I like them. As a matter of fact, I'm driving right now to an appointment and to a business appointment, and I'm wearing a Concealment Solutions Python gun belt. And it does not look like a gun belt. It looks like a great dress belt. But it's very important. Your belt is so important because it helps to balance the weight and distribute the weight of carrying a gun. Even if you're carrying a small gun, it still helps. Especially if you're appendix carrying, belts are incredibly important. And then another part of the system, of course, is a good quality holster. I'll be doing another episode coming up on good quality holsters pretty soon. But magazines is the main topic of this episode. So let's get right into it. There'll be just a brief sound effect here, and then I'm going to get into some voicemails from listeners and magazine discussion and even some discussion on some other concealed carry topics and shooting topics. Okay, for this segment, I'm in the rental Handgun World Mobile Studio. Got a rental vehicle this time. And every once in a while, I do that if I'm going on a little bit longer trip so I don't put a whole lot of wear and tear on my 2007 Honda. I pick up a rental car. Got a Toyota Highlander. Not bad. These aren't a bad SUV. I'm strongly considering picking up an SUV. Of course, it's got to be something that I can either pay cash for or something that I can, that's low priced enough that I can afford only a two-year note on it and have that thing paid off in 2 years. That's the only way that I will finance a vehicle, is by putting about 50% down and financing the other 50% for 2 years so I can get it paid off. But I like these Highlanders, just way too much money if I had to buy one of these. But anyway, I got it for a week now while I make some long trips and talked to you. So voicemails. I've had some voicemails come in. How many of you have given some thought to the number of magazines that you own for each of your handguns and rifles, for that matter, semi-automatic rifles? Magazines are so important. I've heard a lot of people say different things. I've heard people say have at least 5 or 6 magazines. I've heard some say have at least 10 or 15 magazines. I've met so many gun owners that only own the 2 magazines that came with the pistol, which I don't think is a very good idea. Or they may buy 1 extra and only have 3 magazines. Now, when it comes to magazines, you're going to hear from a caller here pretty soon. I'm going to play you a voicemail I got. When it comes to magazines, my philosophy is this. I like to have 2 different groups of magazines for each handgun. The first group of magazines are my concealed carry magazines. I run about 1 magazine of ammo through them to make sure that they're working well and to make sure that my gun likes that magazine with my carry ammo. And I keep 3 or 4 of those for each gun, and those are my carry magazines. I do not practice with those magazines. I do not train with those magazines. I just verify their reliability, and those stay in my safe as concealed carry magazines. Because I want my carry magazines to be in tip-top shape. And if I train with them or go to a class or even a competition match, you know how it is. You drop the magazines in the dirt, you end up stepping on them, or somebody else steps on them, and you can bend the feed lips, or you can get all kinds of dust and dirt and junk in them when you're out practicing and training. So I have another group of magazines, which is my largest group. And remember, I do this for each gun. My largest group of magazines are my training and practice magazines. And I don't care what happens to those. I don't care how beat up they get or, you know, what kind of repairs I got to do on them or parts that I've got to replace, you know, and sometimes I'll let them get a little more dirty than a whole lot more dirty than I would my concealed carry magazines. So what that means is I have to have a lot of magazines for each weapon, and you should. I really think that that's what you should do. Now, Alex from St. Louis called, and you'll hear a little bit about his magazines for different guns, and a new gun that he recently got, which is the same gun as one that I recently got. Let's listen to Alex.
Hey, Bob. It's Alex from St. Louis, returning caller. Just wanted to let you know that I had a Black Nitride Sig P229 with a 357 Sig barrel as well as a 40 barrel. And when the Legion came out, I immediately started lusting for it. So I sold that, added some funds, and finally, after about 2.5 months, I just went ahead and bought one off of Gun Broker. And I took it out this morning for the first time. I bought it in 9mm. I've been reducing calibers, shedding outside calibers like 10mm and 357 Sig and 40. I'm just really down to 9, 45, 223, 308. 12 gauge and 22. So, took it out today for the first time, and wow, what a weapon. I can really feel a difference in the trigger. I forgot who you said put together that trigger. I think Sig outsourced it to a gentleman or a company that you spoke of on a previous podcast, but it's fantastic. And that reset is just right there. I mean, it is. I normally stage my, when I'm just doing target and plinking, I normally stage my trigger, and I believe you do too. But that trigger is just like on rails. It's like glass. It's wonderful. I did notice that when I was shooting with just, with offhand, with my strong hand, and I noticed that when I was doing that, the casings came right back at me and they kept landing on my right shoulder. I'm a right-handed shooter. And they were right on my right shoulder. Every one. Maybe, I'm assuming it's probably because I tilted it a smidge to the left. I think that's probably maybe what happened. And they were just, plinking rounds, you know, not high pressure or anything like that. So, but the sights are fantastic. I shot in the morning, so, they were easy to pick up. I love this weapon, and I have several nice 1911s. I have a Glock 17. However, I think that this would be my winter carry weapon, I would imagine. I mean, just the capacity, how much quality is in it, I can tell when I pick that up versus like a Glock 17. It's heavier, it's more substantial, but it's just more robust, and I think it's a true duty weapon. So just want to let you know that. Also, on a side note, I'm a big fan of magazines. So I have purchased 15 magazines, Bob, for this weapon alone. Check out, if you're looking to buy some more, and I'm a magazine fanatic, I normally have 10 to 15, maybe, I think 15 is about the most I have for a pistol. Except my XDSN9, I think I've got 16 or 17 magazines for that. If you want to check out Reed's Sporting Goods, R-E-E-D-S, Sporting Goods. I saw some on GunBroker, so I called them. Actually, it was on GunBroker. It couldn't be on eBay because there's more than 10 rounds to these. But I called and asked them if they would take, if I bought several, if they'd give me a deal. And I bought 10 for $27.50 a piece. And those are, they're not, I know MechGuard makes SIG magazines. Okay, but these are SIG stamped. They are 13-round magazines, brand new in box, 9mm, $27.50 a piece. I mean, that's an unbelievable deal. My question is, do you have any idea why they make 13 and 15-round magazines? I know with my SIG 229, it came with 3 13-rounders. However, I was talking to them, and they offered to switch those out for 3 15-round magazines. I understand the 10-round magazines for California, but 13 and 15, any idea on that? You can use this on my two voicemails on your show if you'd like and respond. I would appreciate it. Thanks for all you do. Thanks, Bob.
Well, thank you, Alex. To answer your question, Alex, I don't know. I don't know why they make 13 and 15-round magazines. I'm sure there's an explanation. If you, the listener, happen to know regarding SIG pistols, especially the 229, if you know why there are two different magazines, 13-round and 15-round magazines, let me know. Maybe somebody that either works for SIG or used to work for SIG that listens to the show or happens to know. Send me an email or call in. Again, the voicemail number is 210-646-1727. That's 210 area code, 646-1727. I like Alex's philosophy of, 15 or 16 magazines for some of his guns. I don't think I have that many for each pistol, but I'm pretty sure I've got between 8 and 10 for each gun. Now, of course, like, for example, I own more than one Glock 19. So I've got my 4 Glock 19 carry magazines that I just got done talking about before this voicemail. And then, of course, all my training Glock 19 magazines, I got about 20 of them, about 20 training magazines. Obviously, I can switch those between the different G19s that I have. So anyway, Alex, thanks for telling me about Reed's. I do need to order some more magazines for my 229 Legion, because right now I'm making a mistake. I have only got the 3 that came with the gun, so I can't do that. I got to practice what I preach, so I am going to be ordering very soon, and I'm going to check out Reed's ammo. I'm going to order extra magazines for my 229 Legion. What a sweet pistol. And I also think I'm going to get a SIG 320 pretty soon. If you remember, one or two episodes ago, I had a chance to go out with a listener named Jeff to the range, and I got a chance to finally shoot a SIG 320 and shoot it for quite a while. And I'm really impressed with that gun. Real impressed with that gun. As you know, I like Striker-fired guns. I'm partial to Striker-fired weapons. And that is a good Striker-fired gun with a decent trigger and a decent reset. And I'm going to put a flat trigger in it just like Jeff did, because I really like that setup with the flat trigger. Although, I don't like the flat dark earth color that Jeff had. Jeff probably loves it. I don't like the flat dark earth color. I don't like SIG's version of the FDE. It kind of looks like something that I don't want to mention on the air what it looks like, because I like to keep a clean show. but it just doesn't look that great. I'm going to get a black one. I like black pistols. That's me. Yeah, I know. I'm one of those evil guys, right? I like black evil guns. Oh, aren't I terrible? I'm just a terrible right-wing nut job gun nut with these black evil guns. Yep, that's me. And we know it's not the gun that is evil. We know it is the person who owns and uses the gun that is evil. Alex, thanks for the voicemail. I'm glad you like the 229 Legion. It is worth every dollar. Folks, it's not just a marketing gimmick, the Legion series. SIG has really done some nice things to that pistol. There are some nice features on that pistol. If you were to take any other SIG 229 and upgrade it with all the same upgrades as the Legion pistol, you're probably going to pay more than what you would pay for the gun. And I like it. Just that SIG obviously has put a lot of thought into that gun, and they've done a great job. So I got another voicemail for you to listen to. Here we go.
Hello, Bob. This is Dave in Utah. On a recent show, you were talking with the trainer, and you mentioned the Orlando nightclub shooting. He had mentioned that the first responders didn't get there for 3 hours, and you said that you thought the incident took 3 hours to end. From what I understand, you both were right. When the guy initiated the attack, there was police officers there doing security that immediately responded. They entered the club and were shooting back and forth with this guy for a while. They facilitated the evacuation of quite a number of people, but for whatever reason had to retreat. Then after that, there was a lot of waiting, for whatever reason. The SWAT team didn't act, even though this guy had been calling the police multiple times. And from what I understand, actually going around and continuing to shoot people, when nobody knows except for the people on scene why they didn't enter at that point. But it was, eventually 3 hours later that they did again punch a hole in the wall and shoot through the hole and kill the attacker. So just thought I'd show that, give this little clarification. Keep up the good work. That's good.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for that clarification. Folks, I like it when you call in and clarify something I said or correct if I was wrong about something, and Dave did just that. You know, that whole Orlando shooting, just like with most of the mass shootings out there, it's just horrific. And by the way, previous to this voicemail, I was making jokes about people owning black evil guns and saying that it was the people who are evil. I wasn't trying to say that everybody who owns a black gun is evil, or I was not trying to insinuate that people who own guns are evil. I hope you didn't get that message. As I like to close every show, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. And of course, I'm not closing the show right now, but that's what I like to say. And it's true. It's true. I got that from Paul Carlson at the Safety Solutions Academy. We were up there last year in September teaching. Ben Branham and I were doing that. And Paul said he had heard that from somewhere. And I thought, oh man, that's great. That just really does sum up the whole thing about shootings, right? It's evil in the hearts of men and women. Pure and simple, that's what it is. And if they didn't use a gun, they would find other ways to do the evil acts that they wish to do. The big problem, as I've mentioned before, with the Orlando shooting and almost every other one is that they occur in gun-free zones. Now, some occur in areas where you can conceal carry. As a matter of fact, the shooting in Tucson, where Congresswoman Gabby Giffords got injured, concealed carry was allowed there. So in fact, there was a concealed carrier nearby that rushed to the scene and assisted in apprehending the bad guy that did the shooting. And of course, I don't like to mention bad guys' names on this podcast because I don't like to give them any more attention because they don't deserve it. But so many of these happen in gun-free free zones. And I really do think that is the major step that we can take in this country to reduce the amount of people killed in mass shootings, terrorist attacks, or just psychotic nutbags that go on shooting sprees. There's all kinds of people proposing all kinds of solutions, right? The best solution at this time that I believe is to let citizens arm themselves and encourage citizens to arm themselves and do away with gun-free zones so that those who want to arm themselves that will protect themselves or protect the lives of others can be on the scene with a firearm. And yes, if that means in a nightclub, then it means in a nightclub. Oh, but Bob, we can't have people around alcohol and guns. Well, that's true. Somebody who's carrying in a nightclub cannot and should not drink. And if they are drinking alcohol and carrying a gun and they're caught doing that, the penalties should be so severe that nobody would ever want to do that, that they'd want to carry, but they don't want to drink. That's about, I think, one of the only ways that we're going to have an immediate effect on reducing the amount of people killed in these mass shootings. Would you agree? There are other things that could be done. But how many of you would think that if there were armed citizens there, and even if there were the potential for armed citizens there, and the bad guys know it, that would be a deterrent? And speaking of armed citizens, by the way, there's another voicemail I'm going to play for you. But speaking of armed citizens, the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network is an awesome organization. You know, recently I interviewed Paul Lathrop, and he told his story about the legal trouble he got into, and he did not have the financial assistance of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Well, they are an official sponsor and advertiser of the Self-Defense Radio Network. The Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network is now an official sponsor and advertiser for the Self-Defense Radio Network. So there's a special coupon code that I'm going to give a little bit later in the show here, a special coupon code that you need to use. If you listen to any of the Self-Defense Radio Network podcasts, use the coupon code if you're going to sign up for a membership to protect yourself for the legal aftermath. See, that's the thing, folks, the legal aftermath. And what we're learning is that even if you did nothing wrong or not much wrong, you can still get in a whole lot of legal trouble. And have you protected yourself and covered yourself for that legal aftermath? There are two fights in every gunfight. There's the fight to save your life with your gun, and then there's the fight to clear your name in the legal system afterwards. So help out the Self-Defense Radio Network. If you get a membership at Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, please use the coupon code that I will announce a little bit later in this show, and you will be helping to support the Self-Defense Radio Network. Okay, here's another voicemail.
Hey, Bob, it's David Utah. I just listened to your SIG episode with one of your listeners. I just wanted to give you a high five for giving SIGs another try. Regarding bore access, one. So the guns that I own is a SIG 229 and a Blessing M&P Pro. Although my M&P Pro is kind of a step between the stock M&P and the competition model, because it only has a 4.25-inch barrel and, you know, steel knife type. But I've noticed when I've shot the M&P Pro a lot, and when I go to shoot my SIG, the SIG on the first shot feels like it's slipping up out of my hands a little bit. And so then I just applied the thought I used kind of brush grip and bolster down principles, where I just hold onto it a little higher, lean into it, kind of bolster down, use a little bit more muscle, and that seems to control it a little better.
So yeah, kind of, and let's see what else did I say. Yeah, that's basically it. Just that's my input on how to control the Tibor axis. All right, Bob, have a good.
Well, thanks again for calling in another voicemail, Dave. That was a good tip. And basically, it was might have been a little bit hard to hear. What he was saying was that with a SIG that generally has a higher bore axis than some of the other guns out there, like Glocks and M&Ps, to use a crush grip, like Masada Yu teaches, to use a crush grip to help control some of the muzzle flip. He also sent called in another voicemail that I'm not going to play on this episode, but he was mentioning, you know, the more you shoot a certain gun, the better off you are, the more used to you get shooting it. And I simply prefer guns with a low bore axis. However, I can get used to shooting a gun that sits higher in my hand. And as I've mentioned before, the 229 Legion, that SIG P229 Legion that I own, just doesn't seem to have a whole lot of muzzle rise. It just doesn't for me. Maybe it's because of the weight of the gun. The SIG 320, what I kind of like is it's somewhat top heavy, and I like that because by the time, well, empty it feels top heavy, but by the time you load it up with 15 rounds of 9mm, 16 with one in the chamber, it balances very well. And I just really like the compact size. The compact size just seems to balance in my hand, especially when it's full of ammo. And balance is very important in shooting a gun. I don't know if you realize that or not. If you shoot enough, you're going to know what I mean. How the gun balances. In other words, how much weight is in the front, how much weight is in the grip with all the ammo in it. You'll even notice if you shoot enough, you'll notice something I notice. When you start shooting that gun, as the ammo starts coming out of the gun balances differently on the last five or six shots of your magazine because there's not as much weight in the grip because you've shot the ammo out of the gun. I've noticed that. These are the kinds of things that you pick up when you do a lot of shooting. So, Dave, thanks again. I appreciate that, and I've always liked SIGs, and I've always liked SIGs as quality pistols, and I'm going to go ahead and compliment SIG Sauer. They, by coming out with that Legion series, they have gotten my attention again. The Glock 19 will probably always be my favorite carry gun, but I will be carrying the P229 Legion, and I will be carrying the P320 that I'm probably going to be getting soon because it's just a nice striker-fired gun. And I'll be doing some future reviews on flat triggers as well because I really liked Jeff's flat trigger in his SIG. And perhaps even my Glocks are going to get flat triggers. I'll be doing some reviews on those because I think it's important. A flat face trigger, I think it's, for me, they work a lot better. They help my shooting better than a curved face trigger. Also, I promised that I would give you the coupon code for Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. It's 15625, or you can mention the name Paul Lathrop. Either one. 15625, or just mention Paul Lathrop. If you sign up for Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network membership, please tell them that you either heard about it on the Handgun World podcast, or better yet, tell them the Self-Defense Radio Network, that you heard about it through the Self-Defense Radio Network, and use, when you, if you do it on the internet or you call in, 15625 or Paul Lathrop, 15625 or Paul Lathrop. If you do that, you'll be helping to support the Self-Defense Radio Network, because as I mentioned earlier, Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network is one of our official paid advertisers. Okay, just a quick break. I'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Rob Morse from the Polite Society Podcast. I took a Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced class with Ben Branham, Bob Main, Chaz Murray, and Tracy Thronberg. I wish every concealed carrier took a class like this one. The class covered both basic shooting skills and advanced topics. Skills like shooting from unusual positions, shooting with one hand while moving, and shooting when in contact with the target. Those are the real skills you want if you were ever forced to use your firearm. I was impressed because I'm not the perfect student. No, far from it. I took the class because I needed competent instructors to teach me and correct my many mistakes. They did that with professional skill. I plan to train with them again.
You can also occasionally get magazines through Amazon, and if you do, please remember to use my Amazon store. Hey, by the way, for any of your Amazon purchases, please remember to use the Handgun World Amazon link. By doing that, you don't have to spend any extra money, but you do support this podcast. Handgunworld.com, go to the Amazon store, just two or three clicks, follow that link, and you'll be supporting me, and I very much appreciate that. And Ben Branham and I have the Shooters Club put together. Ben said he had somebody come to a class recently that was performing pretty well. And the student said, hey, I've just been watching a lot of your videos, Ben. He was a Shooters Club, or is a Shooters Club member. Videos do not substitute for training, but they sure can help. And that's only $8 a month or $75 a year. You can go to handgunworld.com. You can find out how to sign up for our video membership, Shooters Club. Also, some good audio podcasts on there. Hey, if you haven't heard the interview, the rest of Carlos's interview from a few episodes back, you got to listen to that. And, you know, it's on the Shooters Club. So check that out. Folks, I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Please remember to shoot straight, shoot safe. Wow, I got tongue-tied. How about that? Shoot straight, shoot safe, and read your Bible every day. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.